It's so very good to see all of you that are here this evening. This time of the year is a very special time in many people's lives. It's a time when we have graduations. In the last week, we've had high school graduates, Ashton, Olivia, Haley, and Leslie. And then we had a college graduate from pharmacy school, Morgan. I wonder how many times in the last week someone has come up to you and said, "So what are your plans? So what are you going to do next? Where are you going? What are you going to do with your life?" And I imagine after a while you're kind of like, if one more person asked me that, I won't explode. Well, guess what? That's what the sermon's about. The sermon is, "I have plans for you." And actually, the idea for the sermon came from, guess what, looking at a card that I was going to give to a graduate. From Jeremiah 29, verse 11, "For I know that the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for wholeness and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." Parents, how fervently have you been praying for your children? Because you know they're at crossroads, and there's going to be big changes coming in their life. And there are things that you're hoping and praying will happen in their life, and that there will be blessings that will come in their life. And you want your sons and your daughters to have a life filled with blessings. And so because of that, a lot of times we sit down and spend a whole lot of time planning our future life. Right off the bat, I want you to realize that if God is not in those plans, you're making a terrible mistake. In Isaiah chapter 30, verse 1, "Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who take counsel, but not of me, who devise plans, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin." And so I want you to see two things I've underlined here. They're taking counsel, they want advice, but they're not looking to God for guidance. They're devising plans, but they're not looking to God for which directions to take. A similar idea is in Jeremiah 18 and 12. But they will say, "It is hopeless, but we are going to follow our own plans. And each one of us will act according to the stubbornness of his evil heart." And so sometimes you will come in contact with people and they're not going to listen to anybody. They're not going to take advice from anyone, not the parents, not God, not anybody. And they're just going to go their own way. And the text describes them here as being stubborn. Going to the next verse in the same category in Jeremiah 6 and 19. "Hear, O earth, behold, I am bringing disaster on this people, the fruit of their plans, because they have not listened to my words." He goes on further and he says, "And as for my law, they have rejected it also." So right off of the bat, when you're talking about your plans, what you're wanting your life to turn out to be like, do not make the great mistake of putting God out of it. If God is not part of your plans and part of your future life, it's not going to be good. It's not going to be good. There's something I want you to understand about the nature of man. And that is, our life and our existence as children of God is a mixture of free will and providence. There are those in the world who call it deism. Deism believes that God doesn't do anything in this world, that he kind of wound it up and then backed off and let everything happen. But he does zero interacting in this world. And then in Calvinism, you have an idea that everything that happens is the will of God. And that everything, 100%, is all providence. Both of those are wrong. Deism is wrong, and the idea of the total sovereignty of God, everything that happens is the will of God, are both wrong. The true nature and the life of a Christian is that your life is a mixture of free will choices together with providence. And when I say together with providence, I'm saying that with joy. Because you want the hand of God in your life, especially when it's coming to the plans you have in your life. Let's look at several verses on this right now. We're going to start in Proverbs chapter 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean out on your own understanding. Let's just stop right there. Read these verses in the concept of making the plans for your future life. Who are you going to be looking to for your guidance? Yourself or God? The text here talks about trusting in the Lord and being careful that you don't lean on your own understanding. And that is the idea that you sit down and you think, well, I can figure this out on my own. I don't need any help from anyone. I don't need any advice, counsel from anyone. I don't need any help at all. I can take care of this. I can do it all myself. Wrong. Big mistake. Don't lean on your own understanding. Be humble enough to recognize you don't know everything. Matter of fact, not trying to be ugly, but you don't know very much. Simply because you haven't lived very long. I'm not talking about the degree of your education or intellect. I'm talking about how old you are. Those who are older have more life experiences, and those who have spent time with the Word of God and a relationship with God, following Him by faith, have come to realize the Word of God is awesome. It is the truth. It is the light that shows us which directions to take. And one of the things you learn as you get older and older is actually how little you really do know. In going to school in the years I went to school, what I learned is I don't know very much. And after I learned a whole lot, I don't know very much still. In the big scheme of things, if you go to school and get a doctorate even, a grain, and the rest of the world, you don't know very much. You're just never going to know very much compared to what's out there. All right. So how can you handle this? You don't lean on your own understanding. You trust in the Lord. And He says, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. And so whenever you've got decisions to make, even about school, even about what you're going to major in, who you're going to date, who you're going to court, who you're going to marry, where you're going to live, how you're going to even handle your finances, guess what? The Bible speaks to all those ideas. Now, it doesn't talk about colleges, but it gives principles of decisions and choices. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Now, notice this last part here. He shall direct your paths. This is what we're talking about when we're talking about providence. You want the hand of God in your life. You want providence. You want God shaping your life. Let me give you the text from Proverbs 16 and verse 9. And I want you to notice on the outline, I've given you the same verse from two different translations. The reason for that, I'm wanting to understand what the verse is talking about. The mind of man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. Same verse, different translation. The heart of a man plans his ways, but the Lord establishes his steps. This is an awesome verse to show you the nature of our existence as Christians. You are involved in making the plan. You're making the plans of what you see coming in your life, how you want things to work out. But as a child of God, you need to realize God is in your life. Enjoy it. Enjoy the fact that God is in your life. And He will be directing your steps. Because there are going to come times when you're going to be thinking a certain way is the right way to go. And guess what? The door may close in your face. There were directions in my life that I just absolutely knew this was the right way to go. And I was going to make it work. And the door just slammed in my face so hard it almost broke my nose. And so I figure out, I guess I'm not supposed to go that way. Sometimes you need to realize that the door is closing. You need to be taken another direction. I'll go further on that later on. But again, going back to Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 22. Without consultation, plans are frustrated. But with many counselors, they succeed. Same translation, different verse. Same verse, different translation. Proverbs 15:22 again, without counsel, plans go awry. But with the multitude of counselors, they are established. When you're at these big crossroads in your life, you have these people that work at colleges that are actually called, guess what? Counselors. You have people in high school, they're counselors. They have been trained to help you at these crossroads, to help you make decisions about how to fulfill your plans. I remember when my boys had plans in high school, we went to counselors at the university, and they worked hand in hand with my boys, and because we had counselors working with them, they were able to accomplish them. Because quite frankly, if Dad would have been the one taking care of it, they would have crashed and burned, because I didn't know how to handle that. There are people out there in the world who have a whole lot of knowledge about things you don't know about. And you need to recognize, you need to talk to them. Especially when you got big decisions you got to make in your life, you need to talk to these people and have them help you know the right directions to take. Because you may have plans in your mind and you think, I can handle this. I don't need advice from anybody else. I don't need counselors. The scripture says they're going to go awry. In other words, they're going to bomb. They're going to crash and burn. Find counselors who can give you the right advice about what it is you're striving to accomplish. Going further now in Proverbs 19:21. There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel will stand. I'll go ahead and tell you one story. I'm an agricultural consultant. That's what I went to school to become. And when my wife was pregnant with our daughter, Jennifer, I got permission from the congregation in Spring Hill, Louisiana, to start practicing agriculture consulting again. And, to make a long story short, my business took off like a rocket. I was extremely successful. So successful that I approached my wife and I said, Linda, I can't walk away from this much money. I just can't do it. I'm going to quit preaching. You know, you see her shaking her head. She's like, oh. I will just put it bluntly. Like I told you earlier, the door slammed so hard in my face it almost broke my nose. And in the end of it, my wife and I were living in the Red Roof Inn in Little Rock. We couldn't even live in Spring Hill because she was allergic to a mold that grew there. And it was because of that I ended up in Searcy, Arkansas. Yes. You see, I had plans. And they were big plans, and I was going to make it really. Just, look at all this money. They're laying it in front of you. It must be the right way to go. So guess what? I'm going to quit preaching. No, you're not quitting preaching. Would have been the biggest mistake of my life. God protected me from myself. Thank you. You need to realize you're going to have plans sometimes. And you're going to think this is the right way to go, but the Lord's counsel is going to stand. Sometimes your plans absolutely crash and burn. And it may be that the Lord has a bigger door that he wants you to go through. And this is something I've had to learn. I want you to listen real close to this. It's not always about me. That was when I really had to learn the hard way. I'll tell you one more story. I've told y'all this one before. I had a girl that I was dating in Mississippi years ago, and I could sense that our relationship was about to fall apart. I got on my knees three times and prayed, God, please don't let this relationship fall apart. And that very night, I mean, you got to understand, the very night, in 2 hours, it was dead. I mean, blown out of the water dead. I guess I got my answer. And now I look back at that and I go, wow, you really protected me there. Thank you. I've had plans and plans and plans that did not come to pass the way I planned it, and I thank the God in heaven that he protected me from myself. Thank God that his hand is in your life, because sometimes you may be going the wrong direction and the door may just need to be closed. Proverbs 16:3. Commit your works to the Lord, and the text says, and your plan will be established. I cannot overemphasize the importance of this scripture. In your life, put your life and everything connected to your life to the glory of God. Your life is about glorifying your Creator and serving your God. If you miss your purpose in existence, you're going the wrong way. Commit your life, commit your work to the Lord. I am yours. Everything is to your honor and glory. I understand it's not about me. Use me any way you desire to your honor, your glory, and the work of your kingdom. You put God at the center of your life, you will be blessed. Your plans will be established. The next verse says, I love this, it's almost like a poem. The noble man devises noble plans, and by noble plans he stands. Yeah, it does rhyme, doesn't it? But he has noble plans. Noble plans are plans with God at the center. And when God is at the center of why you're doing what you're doing, those plans are going to stand. And this is a very interesting thing you need to understand about our planning. Sometimes we make plans, but we need to realize, I've told you, our relationship and our existence is a relationship of free will and providence mixed together. And so we see this here in James chapter 4. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Now, let me see, do you see in the text here, these people are making plans. They're making long-range plans. They're going to go to the city, and they're talking about what they're going to be doing for the next year. Long-range plans. Verse 14 says, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, but what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. But then he really nails it down here. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. As I've told you, sometimes you will make plans and you will be trying to map it out in your mind. You get out in your mind, you're going to be doing this and you're going to do this and you're going to do this and you're going to do this. And boom, 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 it's all blown out of the water and you don't do any of it. One thing you need to realize, I have no idea what's coming tomorrow. None. It is very difficult to plan heart attacks. I have not succeeded in that yet. I can't plan when I'm going to get ill. I can't plan when people I love are going to die. There are multitudes of aspects of my life that are connected to me that I have absolutely, quite frankly, no control. But I know somebody that does. And that's where the providence comes in. God knows what's coming. And so when I'm making plans, it's important that when we're making these plans and we're talking about them, that we understand if the Lord wills it. If it is the will of God and he agrees to these plans and me taking my life in this direction, so be it. Let me show you example after example on this. In 1 Corinthians 4, verse 19. But I will come to you shortly, notice this, if the Lord wills. Again in 1 Corinthians 16:7. For I do not wish to see you now on the way, but I hope to stay a while with you, if the Lord permits. Hebrews 6:3. And this we will do, if God permits. You see, that's exactly what they're teaching in James. We're going to do this, Lord willing. We're going to do this, if God permits. You'll see a time there, for instance, in the Roman letter when Paul was talking about, well, whenever I get out and I'm going to go by Spain, and on my way to Spain, I'll drop by Rome. If you know, that's not the way it worked out for Paul the Apostle. His plan was to do a missionary journey over to Spain, on his way to Spain, drop by in Rome, spend some time in Rome, and then go on to Spain. He ended up in Rome, but he ended up there as a prisoner. And it wasn't the way he thought it was going to work out, but he still ended up there. When you make plans, I guarantee you your parents are already doing this, and they have been doing this. They're praying for you. And they want you to have a great life. Let that sink in. We want you to have a great life. Filled with joy, filled with blessings, great marriage, children, grandchildren. Give us a grandkid, yeah. We want your life to be good. And in the end, we want you in heaven with God. And we've been praying about it. And praying about it and praying about it long before you graduated. And we will continue to pray about it and pray about it till we die. But we need to realize if it's the Lord's will. As I told you earlier, God can see what's coming. I was telling you earlier about a relationship falling apart that I had prayed 3 times, fervently praying on my knees, and it totally fell apart in 2 hours. I got my answer, and I got it quick. For days and years, I prayed for a wife. I couldn't figure out why I wasn't married. I didn't get married until I was 31. And I finally came to the conclusion, the answer is no. My grace is sufficient for you. As I told you earlier, it's not always about me. Please learn that. I could not imagine my life without Jennifer Fancher in it. I could not imagine my life without Wayne and Paul Fancher in it. And now I can't imagine my life without Kidron Fancher in it. All of those things that the Lord is intending to bless me with would have never come to pass if I would have forced it. And I'm going to have my way. I'm going to make it fit. No. If the Lord wills, all right. But if the door in front of you is slammed, look for the open door around you. And so what we need to be doing about our plans is taking them to our God in prayer. James 4 and verse 3, you ask and you do not receive. Because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your own pleasures. So if you don't ask, guess what? You're not going to receive. If you've got a desire to come about in your life, you need to be praying about it. If you're not praying about it, no answer is going to come. But in 1 John 5, 14 through 15, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that he hears us. Whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. And so, as children of God, you have this awesome privilege. The creator of the universe cares about you. The creator of the universe will listen to you and answer your prayers and petitions. Do you realize how big that is? How awesome that is? You are sons and daughters of the King. You are children of God Almighty. He loves you more than your parents do. He wants you to have a good life. But he wants you to have a relationship with him. And when you realize you have needs and desires in your life, take those to God in prayer. Luke says in chapter 22, and he will withdraw from them about a stone's throw. And he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. So here we see Jesus praying. He has a situation he's going to be facing that very next day. I mean, just a few hours. The soldiers are already on the way. He's praying with the soldiers on the way to get him. And he does not want to go through this. Got some bad news. Your life is not going to be always roses. Sometimes it's going to be downright tough. Sometimes you're going to be going through situations and you're going to be thinking, I don't want to be here. I don't want to go through this. Can I kind of go around it maybe? I don't want to experience what I'm going through. And yet you have to go through it. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. I've been studying and reading about Joseph in Bible studies and also preparing for the VBS this summer. When Joseph was thrown in the pit by his brothers, do you think he was thinking, you know, this is really going to work out good? I think this is going to be a great day. And when Potiphar's wife lied about him, and then he was thrown in prison, do you think that day when he was in prison, he was thinking, all right, this is going to be great. This is going to be really good for me in my life. I'm in prison. No. But he had to be in the pit to end up in Potiphar's household, and he had to be in the prison to end up being where he was, number two in Egypt, the second most powerful man in the world. All of that was providence. He had to go through extremely difficult problems and trials and sufferings in life to get him where he needed to be. So if it seems like your life is falling apart, it may be actually coming together. Especially if you're children of God. And so, no, you don't like what you're going through. But it's where you are. And as you go through it, if you're a child of God and you're taking it to God in prayer, it may take a long time because you need to realize Joseph wasn't in prison for a couple of weeks. There's no telling how long he had to go through suffering to finally end up where he was meant to be. So sometimes you got to go through the fire and go through suffering to get you where you need to be. And again, was it all about Joseph? No, it was about all the people Joseph was going to save. God knew about the famine that was coming, and he was getting Joseph in the position to see to it that Jacob and all of Jacob's children were kept alive during the famine. It's not always about you. It may be about your children even, or your great-grandchildren, and the timing that's going to be in their lives. But the wonderful thing about all of this is that the hand of God is in our life. We're making plans, and the hand of God is directing our steps. And if God is at the center of our choices and our plans, if it's His will, it will come to pass. Psalm says in 33 and verse 11, the counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart from generation to generation. Do you see how it's beyond your life here? From generation to generation? When the Lord makes choices of the directions in your life, that's going to stand. It will come to pass. I did a sermon not long ago on spiritual collateral blessings and spiritual collateral damage. When blessings come into your life, often those blessings will resonate to your children and your grandchildren and one generation all the way down. And as I tried to point out in that sermon, as it goes further out from one generation to another, it doesn't decrease, it's amplified. you have more and more people being affected by the blessings that God gave you in your life because you put God at the center of your choices and your plans. And you were taking your plans to God in prayer, and it was God's will. And when God's will in answering your prayers comes to pass, that counsel will stand. And it will resonate out from one generation to another after you're long gone. And so now this comes the hard part. Waiting. Psalm 37, 5 through 7. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And so I'm committing it to the Lord, I'm praying to God, and again, it's understood, by the way, I'm going to do the best I can for my end to carry out my plans. I'll put it to you this way. God gave the children of Israel manna, but He didn't drop it in their mouth. He didn't even put it in their hand. They had to go out there and pick it up. Don't be surprised when the Lord loads the manna on you and you spend all day long picking up the manna. Sometimes you feel like you've got so many things you got to do. Look at it this way. Maybe you've got so many blessings coming at you, it's taking all day long just to pick them up. You commit your way to the Lord. You see that again? God at the center. My life is about glorifying God and honoring God and serving God. And because of that, if I trust in Him, He'll bring it to pass. Verse 7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. What God desires of us is trusting Him. We talked about that in the sermon this morning, that you keep your mind focused on God, that you trust in Him, that you honestly believe that He's telling you the truth. But when you're praying to God, you must know that He is there. He is hearing your prayers, and He will answer your prayers. But how is it when we're praying to God that we sometimes may pray this way? Lord, this is what I would like. This is what I need. You won't say it in prayer, but you're thinking it. I prefer it now. When I was praying for a wife, I was waiting for her to come knock on the door and say, here I am. But that just never happened. You had to wait. And wait. And wait. And wait. Wait patiently on the Lord when you've taken it to Him in prayer. Isaiah 40, verse 31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. If you wait on the Lord, you're not going to get beat down by waiting on the Lord. You may be discouraged sometime because what you're hoping for hasn't come to pass yet. But when it does, it will be the tree of life. And because you're trusting in the Lord and the Lord and you're drawing strength from Him, I love the text here. You shall mount up with wings like eagles. This is what I desire and hope for those of you that have graduated. Walk by your own faith. Live by your own faith. And soar on your wings of your faith. If you have God at the center, sometimes it's going to be tough times. But do not doubt that He is there with you, that He will strengthen you, that He will help you, and that His hand is in your life. You're not alone. Be patient. Going back to Lamentations 3, 25 to 26, the Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. If you're seeking Him, He knows the seeking you will find. You wait patiently on the Lord, quietly, trusting in his time, he will bring it to pass. As I told you earlier, praying for a wife, I want her now. I sure am glad she didn't come at that moment, and I'm glad I waited. Now that I'm on the other side, looking back in my life, all of you that are here that are older, you can do this. You can look back in your life and go, oh, isn't that interesting how that worked out there? And because I went this direction instead of that direction, this is where I ended up. And because I went down this path, there were all kinds of wonderful blessings I didn't know were down this path. That's something that happens as you get older, as a Christian. You become more and more conscious of the reality and the fact that the hand of God has been in your life, and it is in your life today, and it will be in your life all the way to the close of your life. Enjoy it. We'll close with these last two texts here. Psalm 27, verse 14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Sometimes when you're waiting, it's tough. Because I want to know what's coming. I want to know who she is. What does she look like? I want to know what I'm going to be doing. I want to know how things are going to turn out. I want to know the end of the story. How many of you, when you read books, come on, be honest. How many of you, when you read books, after you've got into the first and second chapter, you skip over to the last chapter? Yeah. Because we want to know, how's it turn out? If that is the way we are about a book, how about our life? How does it turn out? Who am I going to marry? What's it going to look like? How many children are we going to have? What are we going to name them? You need to realize I had all those things planned out. Oh. There's nothing wrong with making plans. Go ahead. Dream. Make plans. But in the plans that you make, keep God at the center of your life. Seek the Word of God for guidance and understanding. Seek out wise counselors. And guess what? I know somebody that's older than you, your mother and father. And they love you. They want you to have a good life. Listen to their counsel. If they're giving you guidance, it's because they want your life to be good. If they're warning you, it could possibly be because they touched the stove before and got burned. And they don't want you to get burned. Because they love you, because they have more life experiences than you, you have wise counselors in your mother and your father and even in your grandparents. Seek out counselors who can give you good advice. With God at the center, and then you take it to God in prayer, and if it is his will, folks, it's going to come to pass. It may not be the exact way you think it's going to happen, but if the hand of God is in it, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. And in the end, you will soar, not just walk by faith. You will soar on your own wings of faith. And with the hand of God in your life, there's going to be multitudes of blessings after blessing after blessing. I pray the Lord will bless you richly. I pray that for you girls, I pray God will bless you with a husband who will help you and your children get to heaven. I pray you have a long life and that God is at the center of it always. And at the end of your life, I pray that I will see you on the other side. I appreciate your kind attention. If there's anybody here this evening who's not a member of the one body, if you honestly believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, be willing to openly confess that faith. And then motivated by your faith, make the great commitment of repentance. That is to follow the word of God by faith in your life. If you're willing to make that great commitment of repentance, we'll be glad to assist you and baptize you into the one body for the remission of your sins. If you're a child of God already, and there's sin between you and your God that you have not dealt with, we hope that you would have the godly sorrow enough to come back to the Lord in repentance. We as your family will pray for you. We'll pray with you. We really will do the best we can to try to encourage you and strengthen you. If you are subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know while we stand and sing the song that's been selected.